Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Parker, thank you for leading us in those songs. We've come to the phrase in the prayer where Jesus teaches his disciples to show their dependence on God in a daily way by asking daily for provision that God gives. Give us this day our daily bread. I don't think that we can escape the irony of studying this particular passage of Scripture in America, whose landscape is dotted with all-you-can-eat food bars, where obesity is one of our major health concerns in this nation, where dieting programs and diet foods are a multi-billion dollar industry. But we're going to look at what Jesus instructs his followers to pray when he prays, "Give us our daily bread." We all know that this has not been the case. The bounty we enjoy in our nation has not been this way throughout previous generations. There are some of you in this room this evening that remember the lean days of the Great Depression. Some of you have been hungry. Most of us have never known a single day of hunger in our lives. But we want to acknowledge tonight the things that we must learn and can take away from this prayer. And I've got four observations that I want to make as Jesus instructs us to ask him for the daily bread that we need. First of all, our God has plenty of experience in providing amply for his own. All you've got to do is go back and just do an overview of Old Testament history to see how well God has provided for his own. For 40 years of wilderness wandering, manna was provided daily for the Israelites. God was never late with their breakfast. It was always out there. They could go out and gather it each day, and God sustained them. They were healthy. They were strong. They were able to move through during those years. God sent food to Elijah by the brook Cherith through the agency of ravens. And he was sustained during that difficult period of time in the land. God provided for that widow in Zarephath and her son and God's prophet through meal and oil that miraculously replenished themselves throughout the years of the famine. God provided for a large crowd one day as Jesus taught them through a boy's lunch of bread and fish that were multiplied miraculously, and that crowd had basketfuls left over. So we have a God who has plenty of experience in taking care of his people. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 37:25, "I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread." As we study this prayer, it's important for us to see the various parts in light of the whole, the larger prayer. The order of the prayer says something of the priorities in the prayer. And the priority in prayer starts with the beginning here. He says at the very beginning, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." God's name and God's glory and God's will are preeminent. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is not getting God to do, or is not us getting God to do our will on earth. Prayer is learning to do God's will on earth as it's done in heaven. So first, God's name is hallowed. His kingdom is ushered in. His will is to be done. Finally, it comes to our needs and what we require. Later in the same chapter, look down in verses 32 and 33 at what is said there. He says, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Have you ever stopped to think of what the purpose of our food is when God provides us daily with food? I grew up in a family, and we always had the practice of praying before every meal, so it was really easy for me. And when Vicki and I got married, her parents did the same. That was never anything that we even thought about. We just naturally, before every meal, bowed our heads and thanked God for the food that we had, and that's just been a lifelong habit. It's a good habit. It's a habit that Jesus had. He thanked God for the food that He had. But have you ever stopped to think, what's the purpose of this meal that we're having? What did you have for lunch today? Why did you eat that? Well, it tastes good. Some people, in their prayers, express the true purpose of the meals that we eat. I'll frequently hear someone say, Lord, please bless this food to the nourishment of our body. Now, that's not just some trite little phrase that we trot off in our prayers. That's really the true purpose of the food that we eat. We don't live to eat. We should, as Christians, eat to live. And we should take God's provision in balance, not overeating, and we should do that for the nourishment of our body. It's to give us the strength we need to carry out our duties and our responsibilities and our work. I grew up working on the farm. We lived in town, but the farm was 12 miles out. And in the summer especially, we were out there every day working on the farm. And my mom got up and she fixed a good big breakfast. And so we had a full breakfast, and we would eat that breakfast. And then she would pack a big lunch, sandwiches and all the goodies and candy bars and everything else. And we went out and we worked, and then we stopped at lunch and had our big meal like that. And the question is, why such hearty fare? Well, because we were going to be out there chopping cotton and building fences and hauling rocks, and we were going to work hard, and we needed the food to sustain us. Have you ever worked hard and not have a hearty meal to sustain you? I mean, you grow faint in a hurry if you don't feed your body when you're working hard. I think what we need to stop and ask ourselves is, when we ask God for bread, and when He provides that, we need to be concerned about how we're going to be burning that energy, what we're going to be doing productively for God's sake. Do you think it's legitimate for us to ask for bread when we intend to use our labors to serve the devil? You think God will give you second helpings when you intend to use what you have for selfish or dishonorable purposes? Don't pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread, unless you intend to use the energy that you derive from that meal to be a blessing and to serve and to do honorable things that God would be pleased with. A second observation about this part of the prayer is that Jesus says we must ask. A lot of people say, I don't need to ask God for anything. I can go to Brahms and order what I want. Or I can go to the grocery store and buy anything I need. I don't need God. I don't need His provision. And it's easy sometimes for us to think that all we have and all we attain is done by our own strength. But there may be a day when you learn differently. There are people around this globe that every day fight for survival, and they go to bed hungry more often than they go to bed full. We have lived in a country and enjoyed privileges that have dulled us to the source of our provision. Jesus was able to eat meals regularly, and yet He taught His disciples, who ate meals fairly regularly, pray this prayer and ask God daily for the provision that we enjoy. You know, every year in our nation, there are literally millions of dollars in inheritances that are left to those who don't know that they got them. They can't be located. There are unclaimed fortunes. Ramona Davison just got one of those unclaimed fortunes. You can ask her about that. She may want to lend you some money. But they print names in the paper of money that has been unclaimed. And often, we don't ask God for the provision that He's willing to give us, and they're there. Look what He says in the next chapter, in chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. And then He talks about the Father, who if His Son asks Him for bread, will give Him something that's detrimental and harmful. That's not the way fathers operate. That's not the way God operates. James says clearly, you don't have because you don't ask. And I just wonder what unclaimed fortunes are sitting in heaven this very minute with some of your names on them. God's willing to give if you'll just ask. And this is a principle in life. It begins with the very rudiments of survival, the food we need every day to make it through that day. But God wants us to ask Him. He wants us to acknowledge that He is the source of all that we enjoy. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Now, to not ask, to claim arrogantly that we are the ones who supply our own needs, is to fail to understand reality in this universe. God is the one who sends the rains. He's the one who makes the seeds grow. Even when we live among bounty, it is God who supplies that bounty. God doesn't just want to bless us with spiritual blessings. Now, He does primarily, but this prayer shows us that God is also very interested in our physical needs, in our food and in our shelter and in our clothing. And Jesus teaches us in asking for our bread to express our physical needs also before our Father. We just need to be careful not to be greedy as children of God. God gives according to our need, one man said, not according to our greed. In Proverbs chapter 30, there is a really interesting prayer, and some of you have discovered this prayer. It's called the Prayer of Augur. I don't know much about this man, but I love his prayer. He prays the most balanced prayer, and it's a prayer that I wish every American could pray and live out in their life. In Proverbs 30, there in that prayer of Augur, he asks two things of God. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's the request. And secondly, give me neither poverty nor riches. Would you ever pray that prayer? I know a lot of people that pray for riches. Lord, help me win the lottery. Lord, help me make a lot of money. Help me find a job where I can earn six figures. But Augur says, I don't want poverty, nor do I want riches. He says, but give me only my daily bread. Jesus hadn't even taught this man that, and yet he's praying the very prayer that Jesus would teach to his disciples. Give us today our daily bread. He says, he explains it. He says, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. What wisdom to see and understand the need for balance in our lives in this area. No, God will give us what we need, but we need to ask Him. We need to tell Him, we understand, even though it's readily available, we understand, God, You are the source of all that we enjoy. And we thank Him for that blessing. And then the fourth observation, we need to say amen to this request by getting up and going to work. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, from the very beginning, because sin entered this world, Adam was told, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food. The wise man says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4, A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. And in Proverbs 28:19, he says again, he who works his land will have abundant food, but the one who chases fantasies will have his fill of poverty. There are expectations that go with this prayer. We ask for food, but God expects us to respond accordingly and use our energies and our talents and our abilities to earn our living. God feeds the birds of the air, but he doesn't put the worms in the nest. He expects them to do their part. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. And the other end of the spectrum is just as bad. A man who is lazy and will not work, and then a man who works all the time. 6 days shall a man labor, and one day shall he rest. Did you know that admonition to spend time in rest, time with your family, time with your God, did you know that that is repeated 8 times in the Pentateuch? Workaholics are a big part of our society. Those who are always wanting to build bigger barns and fill them with more grain, it's better to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There is a growing interest in our nation among groups called survivalists. And you've heard radio talk shows and you've seen that. And they even have things out here at the fairgrounds, you know, for them. And you can build bunkers and you can fill those bunkers with food. And there are even televangelists that will sell you buckets of food that will last you a whole year. And you can stock up on that. And in case the world comes to an end, you can make it through the end of the world, you know. And you can just keep on living with all this stockpile that you have for yourself. Now, why do you need that? Why do you need a warehouse filled with food as long as you can count on a constant supply from a reliable source? And isn't that what we have? We have a constant supply from the God of heaven who is capable of caring for all of his creatures. He always has and he always will. Why do I need that? It looks like reliance on me rather than reliance on God. No, what we need is to reach our hands up and trust him. Trolleys used to run on the streets of most cities in this country, and they were done away with. They're starting to come back in a lot of cities. When we were in San Francisco recently, we rode on the streetcars. And one thing about a streetcar is that they have a pole that goes up and hooks on the wire. And as long as that arm reaches up to the wire and holds on, that streetcar is powered. But it's got to stay on the tracks. And for us as Christians, you know, staying on the tracks and keeping our hand up to God allows us to do that. I don't think it's any accident that as Jesus described himself, he described himself in terms of bread. You know, there's more than is needed than just what goes into our belly. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. He is the one who sustains us both physically and spiritually through every day of our life. And it's to this need that we ultimately must reach. Jesus, the bread of life, the one who fills us with food so that we'll never again be hungry. I pray that as we move through this prayer that we're learning step by step how to pray our prayers more meaningfully. And I hope that when tonight you bow in prayer, whether it's laying in your bed on your pillow or whether you get down beside your bed on your knees, I hope that you're learning from this prayer to begin with praise to God and that you offer praise to him, to his holy name. I hope you pray that his purposes in this world are fulfilled through your efforts and through the efforts of God's people. And I hope that you rely on him and that you let him know how grateful you are for the bed you sleep in and the roof you sleep under, and the food you've enjoyed today, and the breakfast that's going to be waiting for you in the morning, and never take for granted even the smallest of these blessings that God showers down upon us every day. Did you know one of the greatest sins that God condemned the Israelites for was the sin of ingratitude? Not recognizing, not mentioning. How would you feel if one for whom you provided day in and day out never paused to even say thank you? We have so much to be grateful for. Tonight, if you need to respond to Jesus, the bread of life, He will provide every need. If tonight we can pray for you, if we can assist you, if we can encourage you in any way, we would love to do that. What a way to end this day that's already been such a blessed day. If you need to come, we invite you to come as we stand and as we